is April 26, 1982. This is Eleanor Cohen and Shirley Abram for National Council of Jewish Women. We're in Mr. Alan Berkman's office on April 26, 1982 to supplement the interview that we had had with him previously.
I appreciate your interest and your willingness to come back and talk to me further. I'm pleased to make a few additional remarks that might be of some interest to others. I recall with some nostalgia my early years in Cadiz, Ohio, when I was asked by my father and mother to address letters to their parents and grandparents and family in Lithuania. As you probably know, the address would change from time to time, either Russia or Poland, and I can't recall now what the address was, but I seem to recall that the last mailing went to Poland. I think I had already indicated my father's leaving at an early age after having married my mother, leaving Lithuania. Vilna Gubernija was the name of the community. He went to London, and from London he then came to the United States after mother had come to London and lived there with him for several years, where my oldest brother and my sister were both born. My father's father, my maternal grandfather, was a scholar, as I recall, from stories that I was told. I think he was referred to as the Rebbe of the community, even though he was not, I'm almost certain, not either an ordained rabbi or a, an official rabbi of the community, but it was an expression of respect, I believe, and of common use about any person of the learning.
His name?
His name was Yitzhak. And my father's name was Haim. My mother's name is Sarah. Rivka, I think, is the name that she was referred to as a Yiddish name. My recollection, too, about my grandparents brings to mind that they were involved in some kind of a milling operation. Whether they were the miller or a merchant dealing with milling products, I'm not quite certain, but I seem to remember a lot of references to the fact that they were identified with the milling industry.
Did your father talk about his parents?
Oh, yes. Yes, he was always rather proud of the fact that his parents were learned people. And maybe perhaps he would tell us about that in a way that he felt might inspire his children to be interested and motivated to advance study and scholarship.
What was their last name in Lithuania, do you know?
To my knowledge, it was Berkman.
Berkman. Oh,
yes. And my mother's name was Hellman. Hellman, H-E-L-M-A-N. I'm probably correct when I say it may have been changed, but I was never aware of the name being changed.
Probably would have been aware if it had.
Yes, correct. All of the papers that I had seen from time to time about my father carried the name Hyman Berkman.
And then you addressed the envelopes, I'm sure you would have realized that the name had been different.
Right. And there was a sister who I addressed envelopes to named Goldie. And I remember that too. Mm-hmm. I think too, in reference to my father's activities and interests when he first came to the United States, I probably failed to point out that after he tried his hand at certain selling matters, and I think he was a butcher when he first came to Troy, New York, and didn't stay with that very long, and then came to Canton and got into some kind of a retail business and didn't stay with that very long because it wasn't sufficiently challenging, and then became an independent businessman in what was then a common industry, the scrap business, and from Canton he moved to Caddis, where while he was actively involved in bringing in horses from the West and having them broken in Caddis and then selling them to the Pittsburgh market. I think I mentioned the Rick McJunkin.
Mm-hmm.
He was also involved in the scrap business in Caddis. When he moved to Steubenville, or when we moved to Steubenville, he was completely involved in the scrap business, the steel business. Had some of his closest friends in Steubenville at the Wheeling Steel, Laybell Ironworks, and the Follinsby Steel. And at that time, my brother Lewis became active in the business with my father, although he was also, in a preliminary way, involved in the business in Caddis, but when we moved to Steubenville, he became more active and continued to stay in the business while my oldest brother and I went off to college and law school.
Mm-hmm. Did your mother, where did your mother and father meet?
They met in the Steckel.
Oh, in the Steckel.
And
in
Vilnius, Marin. And they were, as I recall, friendly because their respective parents were friendly in the small community, even though it may not have been a small community, but their particular activities, their particular social life was in a relatively small community. So they knew each other from early age.
They were married there.
They were married there. And my father was married there. I was never quite certain of the precise age, but it was often reported more that he was married at age 17 and mother was, I think, a year or two older.
But your grandmother?
No, my parents.
Your parents married
early. My parents were very married at a very early age. And I don't think I'm wrong when I say 17 or 18.
Really? That's quite a lot.
Because they were relatively young when they came, when they left Vilnius-Gubernia and went to London, and then when they came to the States, they were still relatively.
Was there ever any talk about these marriages being arranged by parents, or was it all spontaneous thing?
I have a faint recollection that it was, in this particular case, it was not arranged by their respective parents, but that was not uncommon in those years.
Or maybe it was the grandparents' marriage, they may have mentioned it. Somebody
I don't seem
down
to recall
now.
That, mm-hmm. But I do recall hearing from time to time what the practice was.
Mm-hmm.
If I am correct in this pronunciation, I think they used to refer to the Shuttons.
Uh-huh. That's right.
I think I've anglicized that somewhat.
A bit.
But close enough so the true Yiddish speaker would understand what I mean.
And your parents were married also in...
Yes. My parents were married in the Vilna Gubernia area. And I always refer to it as Vilna Gubernia, and I think that is the correct name of it. Yeah.
Were there any, did they have any children before they came to the United States? Or
they had two in London.
My parents had two in London.
Yes. Mm-hmm. My oldest brother and my sister were born in London. My brother Lewis and I were born in Kent, Ohio. I think
we have that.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was hoping you got your grandparents.
Well, I'm sorry to say that I can't recall very much of the activities and involvement of my grandparents, except that I had been writing to them, and as I indicated, my paternal grandfather was a scholar.
Mm-hmm. Did your father or mother ever get a chance to go back and visit them once they came to this country?
No, they did not go back. They did not go back. They often talked about it. The World War One intervened, and then World War Two intervened, there was a lot of tragedy there, because my recollection too is that those who were still living, my grandmother and my father's sister and her husband, who were still living prior to World War II and throughout some of that period, were probably victims of the Holocaust. It seemed as though, I think my grandmother, we heard about her passing, but my father's sister and her husband, who was a musician, as I recall, I think, he was a violinist, and during that Holocaust period, we'd hear about his difficulties and their financial difficulties, and we would, from time to time, do as much as we could to help their particular problems. But I'm almost certain that we lost track of them, and then we had no way to write to them or hear from them, so we assumed they were probably victims of the Holocaust.
Your father was the only one of his family who came to the United States?
No. My father's two brothers and sister were here in the United States. My father's two younger brothers, Julius and Louis, and sister, Sophie. Sophie lived in Canton, Ohio. And Julius lived in Cleveland, and Lewis lived in Chicago. And children of Julius are still living in Cleveland, two daughters. And the children of Lewis, one living in Steubenville in Pittsburgh, and in business with my brother, and the other one, daughter living in Peoria, Illinois.
They Midwesterners.
My Aunt Sophie's son passed away, and they only had one child, so I made no reference to her children or their son because they passed. Selma also brought to my attention that I, in discussing my professional activity here in Pittsburgh, I inadvertently failed to point out that I was, before we formed the firm of Burke and Russell and Lieber and Engel, which is now part of Russ Landry Lieber, Paul Lieber and Engel. I was associated with Mark Wedner and with David Glick. And my firm name then was Glick, Berkman and Engel, after Mark Wedner had passed away and had left our office.
What was the name of the firm again?
Glick, Berkman and Engel. And the Glick was David Glick, whom I'm sure many Pittsburghers will know, was a member of the early active Glick family.
I'm sure you talked about him.
Yes,
yes,
we
I
do.
Did.
Remember that clearly.
Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. You showed us the picture.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Of the Gorson, who was the artist, the Glick family. Mm-hmm.
Now, the firm of Glick, Berkman, and Engel had in it Mark Wedner?
Mark Wedner was with us before we named that firm, Glick, Berkman, and Engel. Mark Wedner has since passed away, I'm sure. You folks may know, and not that many Pittsburghers would know.
Mm-hmm.
Selma also brought to my attention, which I felt badly about, that I didn't identify as fully as perhaps I should have the fact that our youngest daughter, Helen, and John, her husband John, both went to the University of Michigan to do graduate work.
Mm-hmm.
I seem to remember that I had indicated that I had taken my undergraduate work at the University of Michigan.
Exactly.
All of our children applied to Michigan. They were all accepted, but they all elected to go to some other school of their first choice. And Barbara went to Vassar, Susan went to Wellesley, and Richard went to Harvard. Helen went to Stanford, and Jim went to Harvard.
Well, the schools they chose were pretty good, too.
I repeat that because I think they were good schools, but the Midwestern life, and the life particularly at Ann Arbor, in Ann Arbor at the University of Michigan, was extraordinary, it was for me. And so the only one of our five children who finally got back there was Helen, who took graduate work. She has a master's in public policy.
What did she think of it, Ann Arbor?
Beautiful, loved it. And her husband, John Abbott, took his master's at the business school, his master's in business administration. They're both living in Cincinnati now. And I can say this now, it wasn't a fact before. They just had a girl, their first child, about 8 weeks old.
Caroline. Oh.
And John is with Procter & Gamble. And
her last name is?
Habert. H-A-B-B-E-R-T. John H. Habert III. And he's with Procter & Gamble. And Helen has her own consulting firm urban planning and marketing. She's done a lot of work in the community. She's the president-elect of the women's organization there, a business women's organization. Mm-hmm. We're rather proud of her recognition and her accomplishments, being a stranger to the community until about 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Excellent.
But got herself involved immediately with the community chest and the city activities. Principally because of the nature of her public policy work and her interest has been very well.
She's back to work since the new baby?
No, not quite, but she's still at home working now rather than going back to her office.
Mm-hmm.
But she's trying to be a real good mother and wife as well as a career person.
Very good.
One further, this point of interest, at least to our family, I made reference when I was at Cambridge, I believe, that I had lived in the Broadway apartment where our daughter Susan, when she came there to do graduate work at Harvard School of Design, by coincidence happened to find an apartment in the same building. Selma brought to my attention that I had also lived in the Ambassador apartment there, which was the first non-student type of facility that was opened up to law students during those years, I guess, the freshman years, and then property owners and apartment owners finally decided to open the facilities to students when they couldn't find other tenants. I mentioned the Ambassador apartment because it's now a Harvard University building and quite a landmark in that particular area. I recall with a lot of nostalgia our living arrangements there. I can't recall if I mentioned this before,
no,
but
I don't think so.
If I duplicate or repeat myself in some areas, I hope I'm forgiven. But it was an exceptionally great experience. I recall it with a lot of affection almost, because we lived on a very modest budget, far better than we could have lived in the dormitories. I mean, we were living in a very fine residential apartment with a houseman who cooked for us and took care of our laundry. And I think I may have mentioned that. It was exceptionally
is it being used for housing at this time?
No, it's used for, it's an administration building now, but a rather important building in the university complex. I don't recall to what extent I may have mentioned the fact that I was exposed principally to a non-Jewish community in my early years. I also had enough exposure in our household to be inspired and stimulated and impressed with the Jewish rituals and Jewish heritage that we all try to recall and try to advance. I still remember the Friday evening service and the type of Friday evening meal that is traditional in the Jewish household. And of course, we always observe the Jewish holidays, notwithstanding the fact that I had a non-Jewish youth exposure with me, both in Caddis, Ohio, and in Steubenville. Steubenville, there's a heavy Jewish family, but Caddis was the only Jewish family. But when I came to Pittsburgh, I'm sure that early lifestyle was still well influencing my interest and activities in the city here in Pittsburgh.
As a young boy, were you bar mitzvah, Mr. Bergman?
No, I was not bar mitzvah.
No,
I was not bar mitzvah. In fact, I think I had 1 or 2 years of Hebrew training in Seder when I was very young in Kansas before we moved to Caddis. And that was the extent of my Jewish.
But I think you said that you had to travel into Canton or somewhere for the high holidays.
We would go to Canton, that's correct.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not from Mr. So that I feel that while that's important, and I certainly recognize importance, and if you want to be a good Jew and if you want to know what you should know about your heritage, it's available to you.
Exactly.
Getting back to another experience I had here in Pittsburgh when I came to Pittsburgh shortly after getting out of law school. The Junior Chamber of Commerce was just being organized, and I was one of the founding members. When I say founding members, I don't mean to imply that I was a moving member, but I was among the founding members of the Junior Chamber of Commerce in Pittsburgh, which also of some interest has since been has since withdrawn from the National Junior Chamber, the Chamber of Commerce group, because on a national level they refused to admit women. And on a local level in Pittsburgh, they now admit women. And that change was not, and is still not apparently, recognized or accepted by the National Junior Chamber of Commerce. And so they've changed their name. It's in Pittsburgh. It's called Vectors, V-E-C-T-O-R.
Do you know the day, the year that the Junior Chamber was, or approximately the year the Junior Chamber might have been organized?
Yes, in Pittsburgh. I think I can relate it to my coming to Pittsburgh. I came here out of law school in 36. So I would guess it was probably in 38, 37, 38 or 39, the latter part of the 30s.
And the Junior Chamber is now called Vectors?
Yes, V-E-C-T-O-R-S, and I think it's Vectors / Pittsburgh. And you may recall that they had, and they do this annually, they recognize people of the year. I started to say man of the year, but it's now man or woman of the year. Person of the year. In various categories, whether it's in medicine or in industry or in education or in the clergy. And this last year when they had that annual program, and I believe they recognized some 10 individuals. Selma and I went to that fair, and that was the first time that they had identified themselves as Vectors of Pittsburgh. Vectors of Pittsburgh.
It's an unusual name. How did they arrive at that?
Well, that question was asked of the chairman, and the chairman said that they try to select a name just that would not be common and known to anyone, and it had no particular meaning.
I thought perhaps Vector was a term in law.
No, it is not a term. There's no relationship. Nothing about that. I don't recall. There was some vague explanation of how they selected the name and what it meant. Nobody seemed to understand why, and it didn't seem to have a meaning that was easy to carry over. But,
not symbolic of
anything. No. We'll check it out.
You might check it, and then you can. I should know, but I frankly have not been identified with the Junior Chamber for a long time, and with these programs, but a number of the individuals who are being honored were friends of ours, so we thought it would be a nice experience, and we did enjoy it. It was an exceptionally good experience.